Let me take a moment and encourage you to be plugged in for our study groups meeting throughout the week, beginning, well, actually, it already started, but tonight we have a group. And then again on Tuesday night, there's a group in one of the homes in our community. And then Wednesday night right here, we do the same study, and we break into a couple of small groups because we've been having a pretty good turnout. So I would encourage you to be part of this because it gives you some of the meat that happens. In the videos you see at the small group, you also are encouraged to use your booklet and do some further study. But Sunday mornings are totally different. I try to draw a theme from each of these sessions and then bring it to you so that you can have something to think about as you move into that study. But it won't be duplicate, so you can't pretend that this morning is your study group. But anyway, it's just a blessing, and it's a good study. Excellent study has been put together very nicely, and I appreciate Whitney Capps for her her knowledge and her abilities that the Lord has gifted her with. So today, I'd like to share this with you as we look at the possibility of what it means to be a community, but more importantly, a community that's been blessed. So I'd like for you to take this passage of Scripture with me as we move forward. Now, this passage of Scripture is Isaac blessing Jacob, who later becomes Israel and who the country of God's people is named after. So Isaac's blessing recorded here is recorded in other places as well. But look at the wording here. May God Almighty bless you. Now, this word is, God Almighty is a description of God. There are a lot of different ways of expressing Yahweh and the people of the Jewish tradition. So in the Hebrew, when you hear the words in the Old Testament say God Almighty, it's usually speaking of his military might. God is capable. God is moving forward with force. God is with you. You don't have to worry about the things, the enemy coming up on you. So this is important as the blessing is shared. So may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. That's an important comment. Because as Abraham received the blessing, so Isaac now is passing this blessing on to the final step of the triad of patriarchs in the Hebrew tradition. These three guys, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are the ones always referred to as those who have listened, who have received the blessing, but have received the covenant of God to move forward. So for Isaac to pass this along, this is critical, not only in the juncture of honor for Israel to come, but also for what Isaac has learned through his father Abraham and how he had learned to follow God himself. But without this blessing, we would not get the people structure that we find today. And I'm not just talking about the Jewish structure. I'm not talking about the land of Jerusalem and Israel. I'm talking about the greater body of Christ. Without this blessing, we would not have received the blessing to do as God has chosen us to do, to be who God wants us to be. So this blessing really is a transformative blessing that comes beyond as a backdrop to Israel, to the church today, God's bride. When you look at the word community, the Hebrew word that's used here in this particular passage is a word that means community, it means assembly, it can also be used as referring to a congregation. So when you think of community, you think of a people group that's come together or people who have things in common. The very Latin root of this word means to have something in common, to have things in common. And for the Hebrews, they had some things in common. And I'd like for you to think about the Hebrew nation and their common traits this morning. So let's begin with that. And I'm going to ask you to look at this number one thing. They were slaves for 400 years. After Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had received the blessing that God was going to give them a land of plenty and a number of people that would outnumber the stars in the sky and the sands on the seashores. This is the vision that God placed in the mind of these three patriarchs. But because of falling under the hands of an evil Pharaoh, for 400 years, God's people were swallowed up in Egypt. and a nation was living inside of a nation. And during these 400 years, they were learning about themselves. They didn't know everything yet. They didn't know that they were learning about themselves until they were freed and given exit from Egypt by Moses himself. And as Moses was speaking to them, they had to come to realize that not only were they slaves, but they were also people of similarity. They were people of a similar race. They were slaves for 400 years, so they had that in common. They were under the bondage of an evil ruler in Egypt. They were of the same race, though. They belonged to one another. They knew each other. They had that commonality, but they also wanted protection. When they were freed from the land of Egypt, they looked to God in a common sense. We don't want to be left to starve to death out here. We want you near us. We want you to guide us. Of all the promises Moses made, they were wanting Moses to stand true to those promises. And if you've heard this from God, they would say, then we hope that this is going to take place. Still haven't learned everything that they need to learn. They also wanted provision. And in their mind, their provision was manna. They wanted food. They wanted water. They wanted all the securities that a nation would have on their own because God has promised that to them. And it was reminded to them that God promised them a land that they were going to go to, a land that would be full of milk and honey. In other words, just flourishing with the things that would be necessary for a life-living sustenance. So here the children of Israel are finally thinking, well, it's happening, but I want to make sure that I'm protected, and I also want to make sure that you're providing everything for me. So they had these common interests as they're moving forward. And there were a lot of other interests, I think, that they also assumed, but they also wanted assurance. They wanted assurance for the future. We got into a song, didn't we? What did I do wrong? Can you help me out there, John? Put me back on my sermon. This bad enemy, this devil, not you, John. There we go. I can go from here. We've got all these points. This is probably meant for... I don't know what's happening with that. Let's not mess with it. I want to go on. You guys listen carefully and take notes because I don't want the distraction to hurt us this morning. So after we have the Hebrew community established, and we know that community means people have things in common, and they have this thing in common where they're looking for things for their own life. Does that remind you of anybody? I mean, if you come to church, oftentimes we come to church and we think, I hope he's got something for me. Or I hope that I can walk away something feeling better about myself or feeling good about my life or having some knowledge. I want it all given to me. When the whole idea of worship was to come together and give it to God, right? Maybe we missed that. But that is the premise of worship. It isn't about us getting in worship as much as it is us giving. So the message that you receive every Sunday morning is relatively a new thing over the last centuries or so of preachers that stand and use a pulpit and share truth. Now those things I think are important for us to hear the truth, but it should be a reminder. And it isn't something that you think that you want to get when you come to church. It should be something you expect to get because that is a gift given to us to realize all the things that God has done for us and don't forget them. And that's what happened to the people in Israel. That they were not to forget these things that God had done. He had taken them out of bondage. He had freed them. He had walked them through the wilderness. And he was giving them a land. He was taking them to a place that he had promised. And his promises were good. And God did follow up with those promises. Now, in the terms of meeting some of these expectations that God had for his people, he wanted to establish some regulations. Now, remember, we just heard the blessing prayed over from Isaac into Jacob's life. And this blessing said, you should increase. I pray that you will increase in numbers and that you'll become a community of people, people who have commonality, people who come together with a sense of purpose and can share in that purpose. So God establishes some regulations so that that can be lived out. That could be a truth that can live with. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, And now, Israel, listen carefully to these decrees and regulations that I am about to teach you. Obey them so that you may live, so that you may enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Do not add or subtract from these commandments I am giving you. Just obey the commandments or the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. Israel, church, community, be careful to listen to the statutes, the regulations, the commands of God, so that you may have a life that you will enjoy, and that you will occupy the kingdom that God is preparing you for. You see, in the Old Testament, the kingdom for them was a land. And through Christ, we understand that it's not about land at all. It's about being. It's about a change of mind, a change of heart. It's about increasing our fold in terms of the ability we have to worship and share the knowledge or the joy of our life with others around us. It wasn't just obey commandments for Jesus, although he said, if you obey my commands, then we will be one. Listen to this. His commands were narrowed down very simply. Love God and love others. So Jesus very simply took what was an old structure and made it into something fulfilled, something that's been accomplished now. That you're not beat up against the wall with your mind and your heart and thinking you're never going to have success with trying to follow these regulations and these commands. When it was all about, all God wanted was you to pose a sense of love for Him. Bring it to Him. And be encouraged by His presence. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9 encourages us to commit to the commands. Commit to the commands. Write them down. Repeat them over and again to your kids while traveling, while going in, while going out of your house. And you can see it there as I've shortened the passage up just a little bit. Just talk about them to yourselves. Talk about them to your kids at home or on the road or going to bed or getting up. Put it on your hands, on your foreheads or your doorposts or on your gates. You see, the image that was being given here is you don't stop thinking about them and you don't stop talking about them and you don't stop living them. You do what you can and you live in the example. But something else was happening. Something new was coming on. And we don't get that until we hear the prophets of old talking about this new thing that's going to be ushered in. And boy, does Jeremiah have a great word for us. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 through 34 says, and you'll read it on your screen. Thank you, John, for putting that up there. Jeremiah 31, 31, the day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and of Judah. You heard the old covenant already, right? You heard that God was instructing us to obey. God was instructing us to move in a direction that is following Him and recognizing His presence with them. But He said, the day is coming when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and of Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors. It's going to be a different promise. Although it will be like it, it will be different. When I took them by the hand and I brought them out of the land of Egypt, they broke that covenant. Though I love them as a husband loves his wife. And we've heard that over and over through this Bible study that we're in. The bride of Christ is being introduced by Jeremiah. I've loved you like a husband loves his wife. Faithful, honored. I poured out myself for you. I've shown you myself. I've demonstrated my strength and my love for you. You would be in the bondage of an evil Pharaoh, of an evil ruler if it hadn't been for me, because I rescued you. I love you like a husband loves his wife. But those things weren't able to be accomplished because they couldn't keep the laws. The law reminded them of their sin, but it couldn't take them out of their sin. It was a checklist for them to check off. I've done this, and whoops, I couldn't do that, or I did it once, but I can't do it anymore, and I fall on this, or I've been restored in this, and we just can't keep them all together. It's difficult for us in our sin-stained life to meet all the requirements of God. In fact, it's impossible. And God knew that. But He loved us through it anyway. He loved the children of Israel through it anyway. And their struggles and their constant turning their backs on God and finding a new love, a new idol to worship, a new God. And so they would fall out of their own failures and their weakness and fall back into exile. And they'd lose the sense of God's presence in their life. And then they had the audacity, just like we do, God, why did you do this to us? Why did you do this? And God had told them long ago, if you don't keep my commands, your life will fall into ruins. Keep them so that you'll have life. You've got God on your side. But the new covenant Jeremiah is offering is one that is not like the old. Because the old one couldn't be kept, it was broken. But this new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on this day, says the Lord, I will put my instructions deep within them. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. For everyone from the last to the greatest will know me already, says the Lord. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. Now, there are some questions I know that you have. But when God says this new covenant's going to come to you, it is a promise and it's come to you. The church, the bride of Christ, the ones under the umbrella of grace who has learned from the Old Testament and found value in the teachings and characterizations of God, and you've taken that with you under the umbrella of grace through Christ Jesus, because Christ didn't abolish it, He only fulfilled it. And then He says, I tell you the truth. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can't do what the Israelites did if you're a believer. You can't run from God. You can't be missing by God. If you're a believer in Christ Jesus, you are His child. And He is not going to leave your sight. You may feel like He's absent. You may feel like He's distant, but God hasn't left. God is there. And just as He was with the Israelites this time, though, He is embedding His truth deep within us. What's the difference? What's the difference between this and the old? Well, in the old, the truth was spoken. The truth was heard. It was memorized. The truth was identified with a standard. But with Christ, it is put into our heart by the indwelling Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there not to judge you, but to judge action. The Holy Spirit is there to help you know what is right from wrong, to whisper in your ear, this is not good for you, this is not what God wants for you, to encourage you, to pray for you. You see, what God had asked those in the old covenant to do was to acknowledge His presence and come near to Him. And you only need to do that once in this life, in this age. Come to Christ and He'll always be with you. Come to the Lord Jesus and surrender to His care, and the Holy Spirit lives in you. So the truth is embedded deep within you, and the Holy Spirit will remind you of what Jesus has taught us through His lifetime. You know, this is interesting too, because there are things that I will never remember that I read in the New Testament, especially these days. But as I think about what the Holy Spirit can do in my heart is to speak for God for things that I already know that I've forgotten, and the Holy Spirit is helping me remember. And that happens every single day, but I got to give you some insight here. When I'm standing in the pulpit on Sunday mornings, it happens right here too. There are things that come to my mind that I just would never have thought of in all my preparation. And the Lord gives it to me as He's speaking the truth in me right now. But you know what? He's doing the same thing for you as you're listening. Some of you who take notes, you're noting things down that if I would read your notes, it wouldn't look like mine. Because the Holy Spirit is communicating something that pertains specifically to your life. Living in the new covenant is not witnessing the fire of God in a bush or the cloud by day. Living in the new covenant is recognizing that those things are burning and existing within. The power of God is within you. And that's far greater. Through Christ, whose blood was shed, that the sin of our life would never be held against us. And that's what God reminded us of. I will put my guiding spirit deep within them. Verse 33 says, I will put my instructions deep within them. He also says, my written word will be at their core. I will write them in their hearts. Remember the old structure in Deuteronomy 6 we just read? Write them, tie them around your hand, on your fingers, on your foreheads, on your doorposts. Teach them to your children. Teach them to your neighbors. What happens in the community in Israel was they needed reminded every single day. But in the community of faith, when you've accepted Jesus Christ, the prophet Jeremiah says, you will no longer need to remind people on your own. Although it's not a bad idea, the Holy Spirit is doing that. Now that doesn't mean we don't witness. That doesn't mean we don't share in truth, because what the Holy Spirit is doing in community is reminding all of us of where we are and whose we are and what our responsibilities are. It just means that the obligation is not up to you now for another believer to constantly teach them, but to help them be remembered. To help them remember the things of the Lord by life example. Can you do that at home alone, or is it better to do that in a community of faith? Yeah. Does God want you to not be part of a body of believers? And I'm not saying religious structure, because I get turned off by that like everybody else. When someone says, you're religious, I cringe at that. I don't like the term religion, because religion says it's something you practice over and over again. When a believer is following in the steps of Christ, he's looking for new roads, new paths that Christ is paving. While the truth is old and the truth is real and the truth will never change, my path in life is carved out by God, and I'm a follower of Christ. I'm not a religious. I'm a believer in Jesus. I'm not religious. You want to call me religious because I do things. Oh, I'm a religious prayer. Yes, I do that. I'm religiously in love with my wife. I'm religiously embracing my family. I'm religiously getting up in the morning and going to bed at night. I'm religiously trying to eat 3 meals a day and probably 6 snacks during the process of time. And that's the thing that gets me down, and we won't go into that. That's another sermon. But if we can think about what the benefits are in the new covenant, it just releases us. It makes us free. It makes us free. I'll put that in your core, says God. But I love this. I will be their God, and they will be my people. You know, God said that in the old covenant too. But the difference here is you are sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. You can't help now. Once you've invited Christ into your life, you can't help it. Like Paul says, I'm inclined. I'm encouraged. I'm motivated just because of who I am. Because if you know Christ Jesus as your Lord and as your Master in this life, He is speaking to you as a father would his children, as a brother would to a brother, as a man would to a son, as a woman would to her sister. God is speaking truth, and he loves us. And he puts his arm around me like a dad would, and he says, John, I know you couldn't help that, but buddy, you got to straighten it up. I know you fall into these temptations because you are a human being, and I know that these are things you have to deal with, but man, it's not working. You've seen how this has gone in the past. You just can't do it. What God has in store for us is for Him to be in relationship with us. I want to be your God, He says. I want you to be my people, my community. I will forgive them, and I will forget their sins. We have to go two marks down there, if you don't mind, Jack. One thing that we can't do as human beings very easily is forget. But one thing we can do is forgive with the power of God. But look at God, what He does. He forgives and He forgets. The problem with the Israelites, they were living with a reminder of their sinful past. And under the new covenant, Christ Jesus made it possible for the sins to be totally covered and not to be included in the history of our life. From the moment you said yes to Jesus, everything passed has been obliterated. God forgets it. He's not reminded of it. And when He looks at me, He sees the face of His Son, Jesus. When He looks into my eyes, He sees the love of a son. And I don't always look loving, but He sees it anyway. He knows where I struggle. He knows where you struggle. And He loves us in spite of it. There is nothing we can do that it would ever put off God from our lives. Once we have come into relationship with Him, we are His and He is ours. Finally, folks at Mount Pleasant, you've been given a blessing under this new covenant. The blessing isn't necessarily the words from Isaac to Jacob, but they're a blessing that comes from the New Testament under the penmanship of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now, all glory to God who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Father, I ask today that in this moment that we would not set aside the Scripture of truth, but we would accept this blessing that there is more that can be accomplished in the power that resides in us beyond the forgiveness of our sins, but in the capability and the power and the strength to draw those who are outside the faith, outside the church, to find renewed understanding in Jesus. I pray that You would give this church the same understanding, that our potential will increase as we exercise no borders, no boundaries on what Your love can do and the saving power that comes through Christ alone. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, and as we sing, I invite you to make a decision. That decision may just simply be, I need the Lord. And if you don't know the Lord, He wants you to know Him. And He wants you to come this morning and perhaps get this thing taken care of. You know, you don't want to live with nothing left undone, right? Because we don't have anything of a promise that's going to guarantee the next hour or the next day. But what we do know is we have now, we have today, we have this moment. And if God is speaking to your heart, I pray that you wouldn't turn your back on Him. Maybe you are just simply needing a sense of peace. I can pray with you. Maybe you need directions. How can I grow in my faith? That can happen this morning right here, or you could go to our next steps table in the gathering place just outside the worship center here this morning, and you can gather that information there. You can do all the things that I've mentioned there if you wish. But I'm right here if you need me. Let's sing.
Amazing love that welcomes me. The kindness of mercy. With love wholeheartedly, my soul undeserved.